Thank you, Chairman, and good morning, and welcome to Citizens March 4th, 2026 Exposure Reduction Committee meeting that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene immediately following the Actuarial and Underwriting Committee meeting. Chair Baruff, we have no speaker requests for this meeting. May I proceed with official roll call?
Please.
Chair Baruff?
Here.
Governor Butts?
Here.
Governor Cumber?
Here.
Governor Spotswood?
Here.
Chairman, you have a quorum.
Somebody make a motion to approve the previous minutes. Motion passes. Welcome, Mr. Pope.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman, and good morning to the committee. For the record, Jeremy Pope, Chief Administrative Officer, and joining me is our Vice President of Agency and Market Services, Carl Rockman. Today, we have a brief update on our depopulation and clearinghouse programs. We do not have any consent items for the committee's consideration. We'll start, as we usually do, on slide three with our update. I will share that what is on the screen is more updated than what's in the actual meeting material. So this is the latest and greatest, and I'll just highlight some of the big hits. Year to date on our commercial lines in January in particular, we had three carriers participate with our DPOP program. They assumed 225 policies, which equated to $428 million in exposure removed. In February, our personal lines book, we had eight participating carriers. We had 55,081 policies removed, which equates to $19.9 billion in exposure shifted to the private market. We currently have a March assumptions in flight right now. Our personal lines, we have five carriers that are participating. There's a total of, we saw a drop in interest, if you will, 16,288 policies that are being looked at, which are the number of DPOP packets that we've sent out to our consumers. And on the commercial lines, we have two carriers participating in the month of March, and that the interest is at 72 policies that are being looked at as we speak. We are seeing a gradual decline in participation overall, which is expected with the book of business as it becomes smaller, as fewer highly desirable risk remain. But looking ahead in April, we have seven carriers that have been approved. There's currently 31,789 policies that carriers have expressed interest in so far. And then in May, we have two carriers that have been approved to participate with our commercial lines assumption. And there's a total of 1,183 policies approved, but we don't necessarily have the number of policies that they're interested in yet. And we'll continue to provide those updates to the committee as we receive them in future meetings. So bottom line is the forward pipeline continues to show active engagement in the market with our DPOP program. Stepping back, looking at the broader picture, the market continues to stabilize and shows signs of renewed vibrancy. And as this committee is fully aware with the reforms of the past couple of years, we've seen a meaningful reduction in litigation activity, increased capital into the market, and expanded private carrier participation in particular with our DPOP program. The goal has always been to stabilize the market and return Citizens to its intended role as the last insurer of the insurer of last resort. And the DPOP activity we've shared today reflects that progress. Carriers are writing business, consumers have more options than ever, and our policy count and exposure continues to decline. I will just mention also, it's in your committee materials, but we also look at repop, what comes back into the program or back into the organization as far as what's shifted. That's very important to us because when we see high numbers of policies coming back, there's sometimes indications something's going on in the market that we would want to be mindful of, but less than 2%, very, very low number of policies are actually coming back into Citizens, which have been depopped, which is good. On slide four, this is just the latest and greatest forecast with our best estimate from a policy count that Jennifer Montero's team puts together for us based on known variables and assumptions on where we'll be by the end of the year. The numbers are important. We do remain focused on the customer experience. Our depopulation process must be transparent and well coordinated from everything that we send out to our consumers to call center support, to agent engagement. And I just want to thank the committee and the board for the continued, we've received a lot of feedback over the years on even feedback on notices and educational opportunities that we have for the agent population. We will continue to make tweaks to those efforts based on the need to make sure the program remains successful and it's a good process for our consumers. So I'll just close with, this isn't just operational for us. We look at our DPOP program as systemic risk reduction, And Chairman, that concludes the DPOP update, unless there's any questions from the committee.
Mr. Shelton.
No, I apologize. It was a sound check.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone have any questions or comments? Mr. Rockman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Carl Rockman, Vice President of Agency and Market Services. I'll provide a brief update on our progress on the clearinghouse, and I'd like to comment on what Governor Spotswood mentioned. I'll point out to the committee that if there's an engine to maintain our size, it's the clearinghouse. If you want to maintain citizen size, it's about risks being shopped in the private market before they come here. And we're very, very proud of our success in the current platform. Slide 6 will remind the committee of the 23 carriers that are participating. And again, this is the key to our success, this great carrier participation in our panel, both on new business and on renewal. On slide 7, it's a measurement of our current success with the program. I'll point out to the committee in 2025, 34% of the new business presented to citizens in the clearinghouse got a qualifying offer that blocked it from coming. In the month of January, 50% got an offer that blocked it from coming. But I'll also point out to the committee that chart at the bottom. What the bottom chart reflects is less demand for citizens. If you notice, April of 2025, 65,000 opportunities came to the clearinghouse looking to see if they could come to citizens. Fast forward to December 25, that's 31,000. That shows that agents have other options. They're not coming to citizens for a solution. They probably are finding it in the private market before they come. But if they are looking at citizens, it's got to come through the clearinghouse, which gives these carriers an opportunity to bid, which will help us maintain our size. So those numbers, I think, are also very compelling for the health of the marketplace. Slide 8, I'll comment just briefly. This is the override process for our agents on the committee. Obviously, the clearinghouse has a process where it may not render perfect decisions, but we do offer an opportunity for agents to present an override to us. About 6% of the business needs a little extra care. We're processing those overrides within a day, and it's only, again, about 6% of the opportunities come through the clearinghouse. Slide 9 will present the overall impact. It's all about coverage A averted. It's all about keeping the risk in the private market and away from citizens. You'll see that overall, since the clearinghouse has stood up back in March, we've been able to defer about $73 billion in coverage A in 2025, and we're already off to a good start in 2026 with $8.5 billion in coverage averted in the clearinghouse. I'll move briefly and quickly into the renewal section of the clearinghouse. Slide 11 just again reminds the committee of the short time frames we have in the renewal clearinghouse. When we render a decision in the renewal clearinghouse, the agents have a very short time frame to react to that and to get that customer placed in the private market. Pleased to report that the agents have been living into that. We're getting very good reports on agent engagement, and that'll be reflected on the next slide, on slide 12. This is a reminder of our rollout program. I'd point the committee to the information at the center bottom. We had over 15,000 agents and support staff take our mandatory training. That mandatory training was focused on the renewal clearinghouse, the customer experience, and how to optimize it. We had a little over 1,000 agents and staff that didn't engage, and we're now in the process of changing our relationship with those agencies. And slide
13. Can I ask a quick question before he...
Please.
So just to make sure that we all understand the clearinghouse, who operates the clearinghouse?
We have a contract with Applied Systems. Okay. Applied Systems came forward in a competitive solicitation and was awarded the clearinghouse platform. Mm-hmm. We use the Applied intake system to input information and get the information from the agents, and then we own the intellectual property that does the decision, but it is a third-party vendor that provides the platform.
So am I right to assume, I just want to make sure I get this right in my head, that if I'm an agent, I go and input this into the clearinghouse, it goes through the 20-plus carriers that are in there, and if there's a potential offer of coverage from ABC carrier, then it spits out and it says to the agent, you've now got an offer of here, you can go and get this offer from the carrier.
That is correct.
Is that fair? Very automated?
Yes.
Okay. And the coverages that are provided by these other carriers, if they're in the clearinghouse.
Yes.
What is the, obviously every carrier is a little different on how they interpret coverages and things of that nature. Do we have guide rails in there as far as, does it have to be exact coverage of citizens, similar deductibles and things of that nature, so the policyholder knows what they're truly getting?
Yes, Governor Becksmith, you're talking about a concept called comparable coverage
yeah.
for personal lines. That is defined in statute. There are five coverages okay. that have to be virtually identical. And then we also have the authority to look at different carrier practices to make sure that the customer is well served. And we're constantly evaluating that comparable coverage dynamic.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you.
I'll move forward. On slide 13, just a quick overview of the overall results. You've seen them on new business, but I'll point out the results in the center of the renewal clearinghouse. Year-end, 8.4% of our renewals going through got a qualifying offer. In January, 5%. While those numbers seem small, a reminder that these are policies that haven't been depopped. They're probably marginal risks, but we are very pleased to at least be able to offer additional opportunities to move to the private market, even with a smaller percentage. So we're very pleased with that. With that, that concludes my report on clearinghouse, and Jeremy's also mentioned high-level depop, so that'll conclude our report unless there's any questions from
Thank you. Any committee. Comments, questions? Hearing none. Any new business? This meeting's adjourned.